Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
When life brings the blah, add more Yabba Dabba Doo with some tasty fruity pebbles. Early morning meeting. Blah. Someone brought the pebbles? Yabba Dabba Doo. Run errands? Blah. Head to the store for pebbles. Yabba Dabba Doo. Fruity Pebbles, less blah, more Yabba Dabba Doo. Pick up Pebbles cereal today. Yabba Dabba Doo and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/Spotify.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly, and today I'm sharing with you a special episode from my friends over at the Like Mother, Like Murder podcast. They covered the case of Rowan Milford Morey, a little boy just shy of his 7th birthday, who was found murdered in an apparent murder-suicide by the hands of his very own father. 2 days before, Rowan was supposed to be dropped off with his mother, according to their custody agreement. And when that didn't happen, his mom, Brandy, immediately knew something was wrong. So Brandy has now joined the Like Mother, Like Murder podcast to share her son's story, talk about a failing system, and what exactly happened from trying to report Rowan missing to when she found out what had happened. So please give this episode a listen. Share it with your friends. Brandy Morey Poles is determined to make a difference for parents, children, and families in hopes to stop this from happening again to anyone else.
Welcome to Like Mother, Like Murder. I am Rachel.
And I'm Heather.
We bring you the good,
the badass,
and the crime.
This is
Like Mother, Like Murder.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Like Mother, Like Murder. Today, we have a mother in need of all of the love, all of the support, all of the warriors to join her in the fight to make a change. A change that is too late to help her precious son, but can hopefully help the next family and child. We have a mother who lost her son in a horrific way only 43 days ago. We have a mother who lost her son in a murder-suicide where his life was taken by the father before turning the gun on himself. We have a mother who tried to tell the courts, who tried to tell others that something was wrong. We have a mother who made a report when her son wasn't brought home when he was supposed to be, and she wasn't taken seriously. We have a mother who looked the judge in the eye and was turned away the day before her son was found murdered in a home. We have a mother whose pride and joy was taken. And today, you get to hear from this mother. Today, we have Brandy Morey Poles. Heather and I sat down and talked with Brandy. She shares stories of who Rowan was and the things that made him so incredibly amazing. She shared things he loved and was looking forward to, as well as how much he was loved by his siblings and his friends. She talks about custody over the years and different problems that arose, and then she gets into the day he was not brought home to her, and how her life will never be the same. We will have a call to action at the end of the episode of what you can do to try to help stop this from happening to the next child, because Rowan's murder cannot go without some sort of change to help someone else. Things need to change, and Brandy wants to be the person to make that happen. For others, because of Rowan. Here is Brandy. First of all, thank you so much for joining us today. The conversation that we're going to have is painful. It's heartbreaking. And the thing is, we need to share Rowan's story. So can we start with you talking about him first, kind of telling us who he was, his interests, just all about him?
Crap, I'm going to start off crying right away.
We'll cry right along with you.
Oh, he was so, so utterly spoiled. And such a sweet, sweet boy. Like, and my husband would get on me sometimes for spoiling him too much. And now I'm so glad that I did. Like, because who knows how he had it on the other side. And that's, I think that's a lot of the mom in me that took over and just over-mommed him. But he was really funny. One of the things I miss the most is hearing his feet running to my bed every morning. And jumping in like he had his little blanket like Spider-Man and would jump into bed with me. He was raised by a hairdresser, so he was a bit of a softie. I know at one, he loved golf because we're all golfers. But the one thing he couldn't wait for was to play flag football this fall because his big brother, Bryson, he's 13, he plays tackle football. He wanted to be just like him. And his first game was the Sunday after he was murdered. So he didn't get to even play or practice with his team, but his team's all wearing stickers for Rowan, and they never even met him. He made friends so easily. His poor little friends are just having such a hard time through this. It's like going through this and watching the ones that love him lose him too is just so heartbreaking.
The impact that a six-year-old can have on so many is so real.
What he did in his little bit of life was just brought so much light and love to our family. So you have to understand, we're blended. My husband and I are. And between the two of us, we have seven kids. And he was the youngest.
Seven.
I know. So my oldest is 27 and he's married. So she's my daughter. Then my other daughter's 22, then 20. Then his son is 18, 13, and then Rowan would have been 7. So he was the youngest out of all these older kids. And their big thing, the older ones would always look at me and be like, well, we didn't have that because they see how much I spoiled Rowan. I'm like, yes, you did. I just didn't have an iPhone and all the stuff to record everything that you did.
Yeah.
And it just worked. It just blended so beautifully. Like, we just had a big family vacation to Silver Lake where we took all of our off-road vehicles and my Jeep and his Bronco. Yeah. We all went up. There was 12 of us that stayed up there, and we went off-roading on the dunes all weekend. And that was our last family trip all together.
Yeah. And that's something that you guys are going to have forever. And talking about all of the siblings, that is, it's so painful to know they're experiencing with their ages. I just think about like how much they played such a big impact in his growth and raising him as well, right alongside you.
My daughter Shelby was second mom. I mean, she literally looks just like me and has my voice, except for she's about 5 inches shorter. And they were very close, and she struggles a lot. Like, my boys are more quiet. They won't go to grief counseling because they're just being boys. But my daughter is going to see someone, I think, next week. But our whole family has just been shattered by this.
Right.
Yeah. And you don't realize how much that one little person meant. Just was such a huge part of our family. Mm-hmm. There was like so many
things. Well, it's nothing you can expect, or it's nothing that should ever happen.
I did expect it.
You did expect it. And that kills me.
It does. In talking about him, so I don't know if you've read up on it or whatnot, but his dad had shaved him bald 4 times.
Right.
Because I was a hairstylist, how else better to get back at someone than to do that?
Right.
Which is just, and he was so little when he first did it that I wouldn't show a reaction when I pick him up. I'd just be like, hi, baby, grab him and leave. I would not give him any inkling that it bothered me, so hopefully he would stop. The first time he did it was 2020, and I had just been diagnosed with breast cancer, and we had to adjourn a court to lower his child support because I had to have my breasts removed. So he sent him home bald, and that's when I knew what I was dealing with. And I knew in my heart that CPS or any friend of the court or anyone, no one would do anything about it. They'd say, oh, it's just hair. So I didn't really do anything the first time. Well, the second time he did it was just before my oldest son's wedding. A week before the wedding, he just shaved all of his hair off. So in any of the big pictures that you see in our family, my son's wedding, if he's got a hat on, it's because he had been shaved bald. So then after that time, I put him into counseling. We had counseling for about a year. Mm-hmm. And then I tried mediation with Mike to talk about it. And then finally, the fourth time he did it was the last time. And I think it's the picture that everyone's seen, that he's completely to the scalp. And I could tell when Rowan got home that he had just done it just before he left the house. Like, he hadn't even seen himself because he had a winter cap on.
Yeah.
It was 27 degrees out that day. And I got him home, and he took his hat off. I'm like, hi, babe. And I don't react. And my heart just sinks. And so later that night, I go to give him a bath. And he gets out, and he's just staring in the mirror, looking at himself for the longest time. And he started to cry, and he said, Mom, I look funny. I said, oh, baby, no, you don't. You're beautiful. You just got a whole lot more face.
Yeah.
Is trying to just turn it around for him. But at that point, he had been telling me how Dad was sleeping all day. He was only eating toast. And I saw how disgusting his house was. And then the head shaving thing. So I called CPS. I'm like, okay, it's time. Something has to be done.
Right.
And that it was, they're such a joke. It was such a joke. It's this young girl who didn't take me seriously. I could tell she could care less, that she thought it wasn't a big deal. She came over and she took all my statements and looked at my home and whatnot. And then she went out to Mike's house twice and he didn't answer. I mean, he didn't work and he can't drive. He was home.
He's there.
And so
he's
she called. Yeah. So she called and called and called. And finally he answered, and he refused to let the CPS girl come out until he knew the allegations. So she told him. So then she goes out there. She comes back to me, to my home, has the audacity to stand in my house and tell me, well, his house was immaculate.
Yeah.
Of course it was. You told him what the problems were.
You told him you were coming there to look at it, and therefore someone's going to clean up to look a certain
100%.
Way. 100%. Right.
So then you fast forward, we're in court this past year in front of the judge, and Mike was his own attorney, and I was on the stand for at least 2 hours. Guys, this was just for court for what school he was going to, and he was already in it. I'd already put him in school. Mike had fought me every way on every single thing. So for 2 years, I had him in preschool at a church and then DK at Vowels. Mike didn't take him on his days. He didn't go to school for 2 years on Mike's time. Wow. And it's legal in Michigan until you're 6 years old. So we were arguing over what school, and we were in court, and he had me on the stand for about 2 hours. And he brought up the CPS thing. And I said, yes, because you did this, 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 and this. The judge reamed me. He looked at me and was just, he goes, not for 1 second do I believe he was only eating toast. Gosh, my eyes starting to twitch.
Yeah, anger.
And it is. It's infuriating. Even my own attorney that I had at the time was angry with me. They were all like, what a gross misuse of the resources. That's for children that need it.
Yeah. And where are they today? What are they saying today after looking you in the eye and saying that?
Exactly. I've not gotten any response out of the judge. I'm sure it's not gonna. But I mean, for him to, and here's where my confusion comes in. That judge signed a court order when our case first started. Why do I need to have his permission to get my child back? Why did I have to file an emergency motion? Did he not believe his own words to his first order that he buried? Right. Why do I need his permission again for something he's already signed? Why did I have to wait 52 hours? 52 hours. Can you imagine what that was like? I knew at 9:03 that morning something was wrong.
Yeah.
I knew all weekend because we had been in mediation with Mike for most of the year because I had moved about an hour and a half away and we were going to put him in a private Christian school and have this great big life for him. And we were going back and forth and back and forth, and it was getting down to school was starting within a week. And I think he knew he was going to lose. And so he took his life at about 10 a.m. because you get like a half hour leeway in the court order to be late or whatnot. Uh-huh. And at 9:03, I was just, I sit by the front window waiting for him, and I knew something was wrong. So by 10 a.m., I called the sheriff's department to ask for a wellness check because Mike had done this before. I think twice before, where he had kept him 3 or 4 hours where I wasn't able to get in touch with him, find him, and the agony and the not knowing and just, this was different. This was worse. And I knew it was worse because by the time we got to 18 hours, no communication, no nothing. I mean, Mike throughout the years had manipulated the communication between the two of us so badly. He pretended he didn't have a cell phone, which they found too. Then we would only communicate by email. Then he would block me. Then he would only have a landline and have an answering machine and shut the answering machine off. So that's what was happening the day that he went missing, that Monday, was I would call and call the house, and it would just go straight to, you have reached, there's no answering machine. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I called the police. They went out, they did a wellness check. They said, no one's there, blah, blah, blah. Well, when I dropped Rowan off, there was a white camper to the right of the driveway and a black truck in the driveway. Well, they went out and that wasn't there. So that's when we put out a missing ISAR telemetry. Right. And so I thought, you know, maybe they're out camping because they had been camping like 2 years ago. And so probably about 6 o'clock, I called the sheriffs again and said, you know, can we get another wellness check? And finally, my husband's like, you know what? I'm going to call the sheriff's department in our county, Kent County.
Okay.
And they actually came to our house. And he goes, I've already called all the phone numbers that I have for Mike. I'm like, how many do you have? He had four different phone numbers. I'm like, what?
Wow.
And then so the Kent County Sheriff said, get in your car now and go up to Isabella County Sheriff's, get in their faces and tell them how scared you are for this kid because of what's going on.
Right.
And we did, and we drove an hour and a half. It was probably 1:30 in the morning. So technically Tuesday morning. We got up there and I'm pleading. I'm like, listen, you don't understand. This is different. He doesn't keep him overnight like this. He doesn't not communicate this long. Like there's something wrong. And I even tried to play it off like I was worried about Mike too, which I really definitely was not. But
yeah,
when we went to leave, my husband was like, you should have been more hysterical. I'm like, no, I wanted to be calm and respectful so they would take me seriously.
Right.
And it didn't matter. They didn't care. They placated me. They just were, you could tell they were standing there just to listen and then get rid of me. And it was so sickening to drive home that night without him. And then I didn't sleep. And my older kids, I listed him as missing that night, and my older kids, Bailey and Shelby, called me at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and they're like, Mom, what is going on? I'm like, calm down. We're going to find him. It's going to be okay. And I got up and I drove straight to my attorney's office in Mount Pleasant. My husband stayed home just in case, you know, he dropped him off a day later or something. I got to my attorney's office. Gavin McClintic, wonderful attorney, such a good man. And he was already there, already at work on doing the emergency motion, all the things we had to file. Mm-hmm. So I went with him to the courthouse to file the emergency motion for the judge to sign. And I stood there waiting. I talked to my caseworker. I, you know, just hanging around. So then when we were done at the courthouse and that we just had to wait for the judge to sign it, we couldn't figure out what to do. Like
the Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. It's the ultimate bundle for an unbelievable price. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. Get it and watch Marvel Television's Ironheart on Disney Plus.
I want to build something iconic.
A new season of The Bear on Hulu.
We can make people happy.
And the epic, a Minecraft movie on Max.
Anything you can imagine is possible.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. All these and more now streaming. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlusHuluMaxBundle.com for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills. But it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hablas español?
Sprichst du Deutsch?
Kann du Deutsch?
If you used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based techniques teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/Spotify. Spelled BABBEL.com/Spotify. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know, where do you look? What do you do? So we went to my mom's for a little bit. And then they said, you know what? Forget Isabella County Sheriff's. Go to the state police. Mm-hmm. So I did with my husband and my stepson. And I started talking to them, telling them what's going on. And I could tell they're taking me serious. Mm-hmm. They care. They were good. Okay. And so then The cop said to me, he goes, listen, we're going to go out and do another wellness check. And if they come back, he's still not there, then we'll list him as missing. And I just start bawling. I'm like, finally.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you need.
Yeah. So I was at the state police post, and the state police didn't get a chance to go out there to do the wellness check because the Isabella County sheriffs were already there. And they came back, and I was standing by the window, and the dispatcher, a woman from the sheriff's department, called the state police and said, this is a civil matter. We've already spoke to her. Send her on her way.
That is absolutely ridiculous. It is not a civil matter. This is a criminal matter at this point. I mean, he has taken, like, what in the world?
Well, and here's the thing. They think it's civil because it's a custody thing. But here's the thing. He's a felon. And I had told them throughout the years, I had told the Isabella County Sheriff's Department, CPS, friend of the court, my attorney, that he had guns. You're not allowed to have guns if you're a felon. Obviously, he had them, and I knew he did. Yeah. So that's should have made it criminal right then and there, but they didn't take the time to look that up or give a crap. We even told him that night, that Monday night at 1:30 in the morning when we got up there, that he has guns. Like, and nothing. So we went home without him. I didn't sleep. Did I sleep? I slept a little. I did not sleep that
Monday
night.
Monday night, no one slept.
But then Wednesday morning, we got up, and our plan, what was our plan? I don't even remember.
We were going to go back up.
We were going to go back up.
Try and file another ex parte.
We were going to try and file another emergency motion. But in the morning, my girlfriend was like, you got to just go about your day as usual. I was already being contacted by some news people to be interviewed that he was missing. And so I had an appointment to get my eyelashes filled because I've been crying so much they look like strangled tarantulas. So I left the house. And as soon as I left, Kent County Sheriff's pulled in. And my husband was left home for over an hour, about an hour and 20 minutes, knowing that I was coming home to that. I left my appointment just talking to my girlfriend, you know, have you heard more stuff? Whatever. There was another news article that came out or something, and I was reading it. And then I got in the car to come home. I turned down our street, and there was a Kent County sheriff and an undercover sheriff two houses down. And I pull in my driveway. There's no cars there or anything. And I go to the backyard to talk to my husband and be like nosy neighbor and be like, oh my God, do you see the cops at the neighbor's house kind of thing? And he wasn't out there. And I walked into the house and I saw my pastor from my church first. And my husband crying and my parents. Like a full metal wall hit me. And there was like 6 or 7 sheriffs there from Kent County. We still don't know. Time of death. Nobody's reached out to us. No detectives. No nothing. We don't have anything. We talked to Michael Main, the sheriffs from the Isabella County, and he said it did look like to them that he had been sleeping when it happened, which I pray for. But the problems.
I know that when.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just know when we were talking on the phone, you had said when they first went, he could have still been alive.
Yes.
And then when they went back out there, he was no longer there. So they would have done their job.
Yes. Yes. So that camper never left the property. So it's a long piece of property that goes back towards a river. And the camper was back on the back part of the property. So if they would have just searched more, or taken us seriously.
Right.
I do believe he passed away. In my heart, I think it was Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, but it was not on Monday. I know that because we've got body cam footage, and we do have a police report that we got from Wood TV8. We are getting stuff from news people, not from detectives or anyone involved. And the body cam footage shows on Monday the black truck was in the garage. And then I think it was Tuesday afternoon they found the white camper on the property, which is the most disturbing part is there are several vehicles on the property. And so is his bike. And there's like a little trailer behind the bike that he would drive or ride Rowan around in. It was freshly pulled up to that trailer and all the blinds were pulled. They were inside that trailer. They were there. And I guess there were no bullet holes at that time on Tuesday afternoon. By Wednesday morning, there was a bullet hole and his sisters had found them.
I don't understand how
52 hours.
You said it's the Isabella County Sheriff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they not only didn't do a wellness check to the best of their ability or even to a basic ability.
Right.
They are not communicating with you. It's the Kent County Sheriff that has to come in and help you guys. You still have no information from the Isabella County Sheriff, who they are the ones who need to do the investigation because it's there, and they still have not told you anything.
Right. Right. They didn't tell us they found the camper.
I do not understand that.
They never told us that they found the camper on the property. God. We didn't know that. We didn't know that until they told me that he was gone. So it's been 5 weeks now, just over, and I try to process this in a healthy way. I've tried to flip the script on my thinking and tell myself that God chose me to be his mom for that little bit of time that I got to.
He definitely did choose you to be his mom.
But what I want from this, I want a Rowan alert, not an Amber alert. Amber alerts are almost impossible to get. The cop even told us that. I want a Rowan alert for parental kidnapped children. You have that 30-minute window.
Yes.
To get your child. If there's, you know, a breakdown of the car or whatever happens, you're running late, weather, whatever, you have that 30 minutes. If there's something going on in that 30 minutes that you're going to be later than that, in this day and age with all the communications that we have available to us, you should be communicating. So if there's no communication and right. that child isn't back to that other parent, the police should be able to get involved. I shouldn't have to petition
100%.
A judge. Exactly. I shouldn't have to petition a judge that's already signed an order saying my kid should be home at that time. I shouldn't have to ask him twice to get my son home safe. And he said no.
Yeah. I don't understand how they turn, like, how there's more...
going on.
Regulation around child support than there is for custody. Like, let's get real. Like,
yes. Yes.
You guys care so much about child support, which, don't get me wrong, is a great thing. But where are all those rules and regulations when it comes to custody? If someone misses a child support payment, there you go. You've got a warrant. You're out. Like, you are on call.
I think
you're missing custody and there's not something more severe.
I mean, and what that would do if we do, by God's grace, get a Rowan alert, all those high conflict cases that friend of the court deal with, you're going to deal with that a lot less because that person's going to go to jail. Mm-hmm. That's causing that conflict. And the evidence was there so much that he was abusing mm-hmm. Rowan, and that CPS worker, there needs to be more money allotted to CPS so they can take the time to recognize emotional and mental abuse, because emotional and mental abuse are going to lead to physical and or death. Almost 100%. Always.
Yes.
And it, he was failed on so many levels. And I fought for him so hard.
Mm-hmm. You did.
It's just frustrating now knowing that, God chose me to make this change is how I try to look at it. I hate that it had to be my son's life. But things do need to change. And there are so many people out there dealing with it. You wouldn't believe the amount of stories of people reaching out to me that they're dealing with this. I want his life to mean something and mean that no other child will be lost to something so stupid.
Yeah, we talk about it a lot in our episodes where we talk about there's so many points along the way leading up where this could have stopped, where this could have been handled. And your story is that. There's so many places where you fought, and they did not back you up, and it could have made 100% of a difference.
So the CPS worker, when she came back to my house that day to tell me, you know, his house is immaculate, this, that, and the other, and, you know, it's he gets to take care of his hair the way he wants on his parenting time. It's hygiene or whatever. I looked at her. I go, if it was a little girl, you wouldn't say that.
True.
And she had nothing to say.
So true.
It was abuse the whole time, and I just felt so unheard and just... I just had this gut feeling if you're doing something so blatantly obvious by shaving a kid's head, what else are you doing to this poor boy? Like, how that girl, that CPS girl, didn't think of that? Like, it's just mind-boggling. It's infuriating, actually. And he just was such a sweet, innocent little boy. He loved life. He loved bragging about himself, about what a great golfer he was.
His golf swing.
He's good, wasn't he? He was so good. He has a big brother and a stepdad that are pretty good golfers too. Not so much me. But he just had a light about him. And he was super sweet. He had this Spider-Man costume that was skin tight. And he was tiny, skinny little kid anyway. So it was hilarious to see him in it. And he'd like sneak around the house and pretend. And then one day, it was like a few weeks after I got him that costume, I'm looking at a picture of him on my phone that I had taken of him in it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not a spider. It was a cockroach.
Oh my God.
So my husband started calling him La Cucaracha. But I told all the older kids, I'm like, don't you dare tell him. That's Spider-Man, damn it.
I have literally done the same thing. I bought my daughter a dinosaur costume and it was a crocodile. To this day, I'm like, no, you were a dinosaur that Halloween. The same thing is happening.
He was fun. I think my daughter ratted us out at some point, though, that he knew it was a cockroach.
Oh my God.
We were out golfing at one point. My husband and I were in one cart, and Bryson and Rowan were in another one. And Rowan went to slide his finger in the cup holder to grab his drink, and he cut his finger. And if this will tell you how I was as a mother with him. He starts screaming for mommy, turns around to come run to me, but limps.
Oh. His finger.
He was like that. When we were on vacation in Silver Lake and my whole family's there, he was wrestling with his big brother Bryson and his teeth went into his knee, and he had like a teeny little cut on his knee. He limped, like it was like dragging his leg for a whole day.
He was a joy, and he is really, really missed by all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, because when you were talking about how you were unheard in all of those moments, you were, I want to say, disrespected by so many people as you tried to seek help from those who are obligated to help you.
Yeah.
And
that's
it's
their job.
Not okay. It's not okay. And
it's not.
There's nothing that we could say or do to help make any of it easier. But I can tell you our hearts are with you 1,000,000%, and that we're going to do what we can to talk about Rowan, to share Rowan's story, and to help in any way we can with Rowan's rights to make a difference for other children's and families. However you need us, we want to be there.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Our whole family thanks you. And I'm so, so thankful that you're helping get his story out.
First, I want to say thank you from all of me to Brandy for talking with us. Through the tears, through the laughter as beautiful memories were shared, and through the horrific tragedy that has shaken your world, we are so sorry from the bottom of our hearts. You were Rowan's mama for a reason. It wasn't long enough, but you gave him all of you for those 6 years, and he has that eternally. You'll fight for him the same way you did while he was here, and he will always know your endless love. And this next part where you fight for justice, fight for a difference, we hope to be a support system for you and your family in any way. As I mentioned in our conversation with Brandy, things need to change. We see way too often children harmed, abused mentally, emotionally, and physically, and that can lead to even worse, just like in Rowan's case. The ultimate goal here would be to create a Rowan's Law to help the families that are fighting with custody agreements and not having the other parent meet their end of the contractual agreement. These are put into place for a reason, and so when they are broken in one way or another, the parent should be held responsible immediately. In Rowan's case, he should have been dropped off at 9 in the morning. There was no communication whatsoever from the father, and therefore at 9:30 a.m., after the allotted and agreed upon leeway time that is given by the courts, at 9:31, that is when the parent should be able to say, "My child is not back. You need to go and get him." Then it should be as simple as that. Okay, you're right. He should be back. The leeway is up. We are going to go do our fucking jobs. But no, in this case, it took over 52 hours. Yes, people went out and knocked on a door. We don't want you to knock on a door. We want you to knock the door down. Then, after you knock that door down, you have the right to arrest the person for withholding the child and not following the agreement that was put into place. That is now criminal, and it should be taken seriously as such. Creating a Rowan's Law would give the parent or guardian the ability to get the help they need for their child in circumstances such as parental kidnapping. I truly believe this would help parents to be held accountable. Then, if they're not, it's jail time. Goodbye. Follow your court order or get the F out of here. As much as we see cases where we talk about custody disputes, children going missing, children abused, children murdered, Charlie and Braden Powell, Gabriel Fernandez, Kyra Franchetti, just to name a few. These are all cases that CPS was involved. And Brandy, she wants to find a way to help get more funds for CPS so they have enough employees. They have the right training necessary, the ways to do their jobs accurately, to pay attention to the mental and the emotional abuse that's happening as well, because it leads to physical abuse. And in too many cases, it leads to murder. And in Rowan's case, Brandy stood in front of the court. She stood in front of the judge, and they didn't take her seriously. They didn't hear her. And that's why right now, right here, she needs to be heard. A change needs to happen for these children, for these families. I wanted to read two lines from Rowan's obituary. Rowan was a delightful little boy whose laughter could light up any room. His infectious giggles and playful nature brought joy to everyone around him. He had a unique ability to find humor in the simplest of things, making even the dullest days feel like an adventure. Whether he was cracking jokes or pulling silly faces, he had a knack for making people smile. Although Rowan's time with us was brief, his impact was profound. He taught us all the importance of laughter, love, and living life to the fullest. He will be deeply missed by his family, friends, and everyone who had the privilege of knowing him. Brandy, her husband Brian, Rowan's 7 siblings and their beautifully combined family, Bailey, Carly, Shelby, Ethan, Aiden, Merrick, and Bryson, and the rest of their family are all suffering the loss of Rowan. A GoFundMe has been set up by a family friend for Brandy and the family to offer support through this difficult time. Everything we talked about today will be in the show notes, including the Rest in Peace Rowan Mori Facebook page, the GoFundMe page if you're able to donate, and any other way to follow along to help us make a change. Thank you all for taking the time to listen to Brandy today. Please keep her and her family in your thoughts and prayers through this truly devastating time. We will talk to you next Tuesday. Until then, put on an orange shirt and go out of your way to make someone smile today. For Rowan. Okay, love you. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.